Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Well, the gospel writer Mark is a writer that is to the point, no wasted words, tell the story as quickly as possible. In the first 35 verses of this gospel of Mark, John the Baptist is introduced. Jesus is baptized, goes into the wilderness, is tempted. Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. He calls his first disciples. He casts out unclean spirits. He heals many who are sick. In comparison to the other two synoptic gospels of Matthew and Luke, in Matthew, in the first 35 verses, we're still with the wise men. And in Luke, in the first 35 verses, Mary is 6 months pregnant. So Mark is moving quickly. And another indicator of that is he uses the word immediate or immediately 28 times in 16 chapters. Again, compared, Matthew uses it 12 times in 28 chapters. Luke uses it 13 times in 24 chapters. Mark is to the point. In the scripture that Lee read for us this morning, in the beginning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. The evening before, Jesus had been at Peter's house, and the whole city of Capernaum had gathered at the door, and he healed many who were sick and cast out many demons. But on this morning, while it was still very dark, he goes out to pray. And after his disciples found him, after he had finished praying, he and his disciples went through the neighboring towns of Galilee to proclaim the good news. Jesus was embarking on a busy schedule, which would be important for him in claiming his identity. Jesus went out alone to a deserted place to pray, not to the synagogue, not with the disciples, but to a deserted place alone. I think this tells us a lot about Jesus' approach to prayer, and it's an important clue for our own prayer life. The first thing we see is that Jesus found a place of solitude, a place out of the way of distraction, a quiet place where he could be attentive, where he could hear. Actually, there are several places in the Gospels that tell us that Jesus went off alone by himself to pray. Jesus had just finished a busy time, and he was heading into an even busier time. He needed to be able to hear God. He needed to be able to draw strength and guidance for the days ahead. Last week, I began this discussion on discovering the deepest desire of our hearts. We have a lot of desires, some good, some not so healthy. Those distracting desires are like the thief in Jesus' sayings of, "I am the gate." They are like a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when we nurture those distracting desires, they pull us farther away from God instead of closer to God. When we think they will bring us peace and fulfillment, they only cause us more frustration. However, if we can discover that deepest desire of our heart, that of knowing and loving God, we will have life abundantly, as Jesus said. Abundantly means to have a deep, intimate relationship with God, doesn't mean an abundance of things, but a deep, intimate relationship with God. And one of the ways that we can discover that deep desire of our hearts, one of the ways that we can discover God's love for us and return our love to God, is through prayer. And many of you are probably thinking, not another sermon on prayer. You've probably heard more sermons on prayer than you care to remember. Well, try writing another sermon on prayer and saying something fresh. So why? If we've heard so many, if we've preached so many, why another sermon on prayer? Because that's how important prayer is. For prayer is that practice that connects us with God and to life transformation. One thing I know for sure about prayer these days is that none of us have it mastered. It's only the young in Christ, and by young I don't mean chronologically young, I'm talking in terms of spiritual maturity. It's only the young in Christ who think they know how to pray. The rest of us realize that we are really just beginners in this practice. We often struggle to find time to pray. We struggle on how to pray, and sometimes we even struggle on why do we pray. Now, there are many different types of prayer, but the fundamental purpose of prayer is to deepen our intimacy with God. And not just to ask for things. We deepen our relationship with God through a shared conversation. We deepen our intimacy with God by communication. Therefore, prayer is all of the different ways that we communicate with God. There have been multiple times in my life, and I'm sure yours as well, when you feel like you've kind of hit a wall in your prayer life. When you feel like you're not accomplishing anything, your words aren't going anywhere. Feels like you're just going through the motions. And what I have realized, what I've come to discover in my own life when I have those kinds of times, that it's a sign for me that I need to transition into a deeper level of intimacy with God. I need to change how I pray. I need to discover new ways of praying that connect me with God. These times of transition in our prayer life are a little scary. It means leaving behind a familiar way of praying for a new way of praying that is not comfortable and sometimes takes a while to become comfortable. But the difficulty is often we abandon that new way of praying before it becomes comfortable, and we just revert back to the old way of praying, even though it doesn't seem to be working any longer. But then what really happens is that when we realize that we're not going to try something new and that the old way doesn't seem to be working, then we just quit altogether. And that's tragic. However, if we can stay with a new experience of prayer long enough, then our intimacy with God does grow deeper. And that's scary in itself. In most cases, the reasons we prefer to talk about prayer and to read about prayer but not actually pray has more to do with our ambivalence about intimacy than anything else. Why does this ambivalence arise? Well, instinctively, we know that intimacy requires something of us. We can't be in an intimate relationship without giving something of ourselves. And there's a risk in intimate relationships. It means letting someone else know and see our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses as well as our beauty and our strength. These risks can lead us into being ambivalent about intimacy in prayer, because intimacy always leads us to a place where we're not in control. When we give ourselves to another person in an act of love, we are not in control any longer. When we give our heart and our life to another in a committed friendship or marriage, we know that we give them the ability to do us great good or great harm. And while we choose our intimate relationships as wisely as we can, there are no guarantees. We can never truly control another human being. And it is our pattern of intimacy or non-intimacy with other human beings, those are the very same patterns in our relationship with God, whether we're conscious of it or not. If we hold others at an arm's length and we're afraid to be intimate with one another, then we're going to treat God the same way. And we do that whether we realize it or not. Deepening what our previous experience, depending on what our previous experiences of intimacy are, we can either relinquish control to God or we won't. If we have a high need of being in control in our human relationships, and most of us feel like we do, then intimacy with God is going to be very challenging for us. If we are afraid of intimacy and hold ourselves back in our human relationships, that's exactly going to be our pattern with God. But if we can overcome our fear of intimacy, our need to be in control, if we can open up ourselves to a deeper relationship with God, then we must be willing to empty ourselves in order to do that. Because emptying is a prerequisite for receiving. There's a story of a learned professor who went to visit an old monk who was famous for his wisdom. The monk graciously welcomed him, invited him into his temple, offered him a seat on a cushion. No sooner had the professor sat down than he launched into this long, wordy account of his accomplishments, of his knowledge, of his theory, and his opinions. The monk listened quietly while the professor went on. And then finally, after a while, the monk politely asked, "Would you like a cup of tea?" The professor nodded and smiled, but kept right on talking. The monk handed him a teacup and began pouring tea out of a large teapot. The tea rose to the brim of the cup and then started overflowing out of the cup. But the monk kept right on pouring while the professor kept right on talking. Finally, the professor noticed what was happening, leaped to his feet, and demanded, "What are you doing? Can't you see the cup is overflowing?" To which the monk replied, "This cup is like your mind. It can't take anything new in because it's already full." Our approach to prayer is to go to God often with a lot of words, with our list of wants and needs and suggestions, like the professor. Our mind is so full of our own words and our own agenda that we can't hear God if we wanted to. Now, don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. There is a time and a place for intercessory and petition prayer. But that's only a small part of our overall prayer life. However, there are those kinds of prayers that they are the kind of prayers that take up most of our time. Here is a clue. Here's where we get this clue from Jesus, that we need to find a place of solitude and silence. We need to cultivate a quieter way of praying. And by quiet, I don't mean just saying words in your mind and not out loud. By quiet, I mean we don't use words at all, or at least a very few words. When prayer time is nothing more than our wants, our needs, our suggestions, then not much is required of us in that kind of praying. All that is required of us is the time it takes to say the words. We don't even have to know God to pray that way. It's just like asking a stranger for directions or giving a stranger directions. We don't have to know God to pray that way. Carlo Corrado wrote this: "Prayer is like love. Words pour out at first, then they are more silent and can communicate in monosyllables. In times of difficulty, a gesture is enough, a word, or nothing at all. Love is enough. Thus, the time comes when words are superfluous. The soul converses with God with a single loving glance." Let me give you a suggestion this morning on a quieter way to pray. You may just want to read a short passage of Scripture, just a few verses. and probably from the Psalms. And instead of launching into a monologue, just sit quietly. Sit quietly in the presence of God, paying attention to your breathing. You may have a word of God that, or word for God that resonates with you, Holy One, Prince of Peace, Almighty God. And we use that word to kind of refocus us when our mind begins to wander. I suspect for some of you, even just the few moments of silence in Lee's prayer earlier was uncomfortable for you. But if you'll practice that kind of prayer, it's in those moments of silence when we are away from the busyness, when we are away from all the noise of the world, that we can begin to hear God. It's that kind of prayer that allows us to experience the presence of God. It's those kinds of prayers that help us to know the heart of God, which then helps us better pray our intercessory prayers and our prayers of petition. If we know the heart of God. Yes, lift up your prayers of intercession and petition. But before you do that, take a moment, a few moments, to be silent before God. No words. Just be in God's presence. It's uncomfortable in the beginning, but don't give up on it, because it's there that you will begin to find your deepest intimacy with God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.